This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
B of A gets countrywide.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Bank of America said this morning it will buy the mortgage lender Countrywide for $4 billion in stock. Two things happening here. Countrywide gets saved after the subprime fiasco, and Bank of America gets even bigger. It will now be the biggest mortgage lender and loan servicer in the country. The deal will probably close in the third quarter. For the last quarter, the investment bank Merrill Lynch was expecting to write down $7 or $8 billion in losses from subprime. But this morning's New York Times says it's going to be more like $15 billion. This stuff just won't go away. And the stock markets here and overseas don't like it one bit. In Tokyo today, the Nikkei had its lowest close since November of 2005. Shares in London are down 0.5%. Wall Street is bracing for a downer Friday, but the Dow did gain 117 points yesterday, so there's a bit of a cushion. It starts the morning at 12,853. Today was the deadline for Europe to lighten up its rules on importing genetically modified foods. This is an order from the World Trade Organization. American farmers would love to export more of those crops to Europe, but many Europeans want nothing to do with what they call Frankenfoods. Kyle James reports from Berlin.
For American farmers, biotech crops are the norm. For example, 73% of U.S. cornfields have them. GM crops have been genetically altered to produce higher yields, repel pests, or have longer shelf lives. But U.S. farmers face high hurdles when it comes to Europe, which has a very strict and slow approval process for GM food imports. Analyst Mark Reinhard says that's because anti-GM sentiment in Europe is strong.
Lobby groups have taken a very strong position and seen this as an important issue to try to work against. A little bit of a feeling that large corporations are trying to push genetically modified food down the throats of consumers, and that's something Europeans don't want.
Europe claims it's working to smooth its GM approval process, but the U.S. is getting impatient, and it could ask the World Trade Organization today to take action. A trade war could be on the horizon. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Friday, January 11th on Marketplace.org. The Federal Reserve may be talking about lowering interest rates, but in Europe, they aren't quite ready to do that. Yesterday, the European Central Bank and the Bank of England left rates unchanged. And they're even talking about raising interest rates. Megan Williams explains what's going on.
Keep wages down if you don't want an interest rate hike. That was the message from the head of the European Central Bank, who warned countries like Germany that higher wages will lead to more inflation. And the ECB says it won't hesitate to raise rates. The comments show that the European Bank is more concerned with an inflation rate of over 3% than slack growth, the exact opposite of the U.S. Federal Reserve, which will likely lower interest rates. But analysts aren't convinced. Capital Markets VP Rainer Gunterman predicts Europe will fall in line with the U.S. policy.
We think also European economic growth is about to slow down this year. And we do think that the next move by the ECB will be a rate cut, although this is an issue for very late in the year.
The ECB, in the meantime, will inject $20 billion into credit markets, the latest response to the subprime crisis. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
It's sad to say, but even in this day and age, people are still bought and sold. The Justice Department estimates at least 17,000 people are brought into the U.S. every year and forced to work as slaves. Today is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. More from Marketplace's Janet Babin at North Carolina Public Radio.
Human trafficking is the modern-day equivalent of the slave trade, and it's the fastest-growing criminal industry in the world. The United Nations estimates that the trade's worth some $32 billion in both sales of people and the value of their exploited labor. Jolene Smith is executive director of Free the Slaves.
Our research shows that there are at least 27 million people in slavery around the world today, and that's real slavery, people held against their will, under violence or threat of violence, and paid nothing.
Most slaves brought to the U.S. end up as laborers, prostitutes, or domestic servants. Organizers want this day of awareness to highlight the signs of slavery. If a person seems unable to leave their place of employment or shows signs of physical abuse, it should be reported. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You might find this hard to believe, but the big airlines are planning to make even fewer seats available this year. That'll raise fares to cover the cost of higher oil prices. I didn't know there were any seats left to cut. More now from Steve Tripoli.
Aviation analyst Michael Boyd says fewer seats doesn't mean airlines won't get you there.
What it means for consumers is don't expect fares to drop, particularly with fuel prices going up, but they're not going to drop a lot of routes.
Some analysts say juggling already full passenger loads with fewer seats means more delays and lost bags. Boyd doesn't agree.
It will make no difference at all. It won't represent more hassle than we already have.
Kate Hanai at the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights says Boyd's got it wrong.
Passengers are going to find it much more difficult to get a seat. They're much more likely to be bumped. They need to be much more proactive about checking in early.
So Hanai says flyers will need new tactics.
They should get their tickets as early as possible, look for the deals. At this point, passengers really have to start advocating for themselves.
Domestic airlines had the fullest jets ever and the most late arrivals last year. Improving on that with fewer seats will be a neat trick. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
After more than 30 bowl games, the college football season finally ended this week. LSU won the national championship in New Orleans. If you watched that game, or the Sugar Bowl, you couldn't help but notice the sponsor, Allstate. Its logo was all over the field, on the players' jerseys, on the sidewalks in New Orleans, buses, hotels, you name it. Allstate threw parties and parades. But a lot of people didn't feel like celebrating. They think the insurance company bailed on many homeowners after Hurricane Katrina. Let's bring in our business of sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, why did Allstate choose New Orleans for a bowl sponsorship?
On the one hand, let's be fair to them, to the company, and say way before Hurricane Katrina swept into the Gulf region, Allstate has been involved in college football, and they've been looking for a bowl game for this particular season. And, you know, who knows, maybe if the Orange Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or other games had come available, they would have taken that. But I think their analysts looked at it and said, okay, people are ticked off at us in New Orleans, but nationwide, you know, all those cities around the country watching two of the biggest college football moments of the year are going to say, Allstate, we're in good hands with Allstate, 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 Allstate.
So they knew it beforehand that there would probably be people that would be very upset with seeing logos all over the city with Allstate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got, you know, over 1,200 claims that are still not been settled, the people who haven't had their homes rebuilt. They've got personal lawsuits against them. And now the Allstate hands, you know, you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, the people in New Orleans sure don't feel that way.
But is it just the exposure that Allstate has, or is it the fact that they've spent all this money on a bowl sponsorship when that money could be going to people's homes?
You know, it's a direct analysis. You know, imagine if you'd lost your home. And it's not just lost your home. A lot of people's policies were canceled. And they care that this company is, you know, the big championship sponsorship, you know, title company of the football game. They think it's wrong. They think it's immoral.
But at the same time, New Orleans does need some rejuvenation, and it is getting it in the form of sporting events, like it or not. You've got the bowl games, the national championship, the NBA All-Star game will be there this year. So you could argue that Allstate is just participating in that.
They are, but it's a fairly small city, and there's a fairly big population that was hurt. And they say, you know, let's get some other company who's treated us a little better to come in here and throw their logo around. I personally would have thought that just over this past weekend that they might have, you know, thrown some wonderful PR events for the flood victims that directly lost their homes and lost their policies under Allstate's care.
It should be noted that if you watched the bowl games and the national championship, you saw ads for car insurance and not home insurance.
Good point. They very cleverly made sure that, you know, I mean, their bread and butter is home insurance. That's what they're known for. But all of the national campaign and the local New Orleans campaign, whether it was print or was television, focused on their auto policies and their auto products.
All right, Diana Nyad, thanks.
Scott, take it easy.
Diana Nyad is our Business of Sports commentator. We always welcome you to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners. Log on to our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.